to Beyond the Ring, a podcast that covers all things in the stock show industry from the informative to the insane, starring Ryan Rash.
Speak the truth, your truth, and mean what you say.
And Dale Hummel.
Spay or neuter the ignorant.
Now on with the show.
Welcome to Beyond the Ring. This is Dale Hummel, along with co-star Ryan Rash.
Hello, hello, hello.
Just get it out of the way. Say it. Just say it.
Would you like to tell me how right I am?
Would you like to tell you that you're right? Would I ever want to tell you you're right about anything?
No, you don't. You just ignore it and act like it didn't happen.
Ryan, you were correct.
Thank you.
A couple months ago, or however long it was, that there was going to be an issue when it came to vote for Speaker of the House.
Yeah, and y'all all told me I was crazy.
That?
And
how was look, that?
And look what's happened today.
It's a mess. It's an absolute mess.
And the worst thing is, it looks terrible for the Republicans. And no matter what way this turns out, and I mean, I'll break it all down for you in a minute. No matter what way this turns out, this damages the Republican majority for the next 2 years. All these things that they wanted to get done, not saying they can't still get them done, but now it's even harder because they look like such a chaotic right
now. I agree. I think it's ridiculous. I think it should have never gotten to this point. All of those things. You did predict it was going to happen. I still stand by the fact that those 19 that voted for others in the Republican Party. So just so everybody's on the same page, they're voting. They've had one vote, correct, Ryan? They're getting ready for a second vote or no?
This morning, they have had the first vote for Speaker of the House. It takes 218 votes if everyone is there to get a majority, which everyone is there right now, because technically at this point, we do not have one single congressman or woman. Because the first thing you do is you elect a speaker, and then he or she swears everybody in, whether they were elected previously or elected for the first time. Technically, right now, people, there is no House of Representatives in the United States of America.
That sums it up. And we've had all of the Republicans,
212 Democrats all voted for Hakeem Jeffries to be Speaker of the House. They all stuck together. They all voted. 203 Republicans voted for Kevin McCarthy to be Speaker, and 19 Republicans voted other. So right after, the day after midterm, or maybe not the day after, but the week after midterm elections, there were 5 Republican congressmen that came out because they were convinced that they were going to have the majority. And I brought this up on the podcast, and I'm not going to say who, but a couple people that are on this podcast told me I was insane, but said that they, under zero circumstances, would they ever vote for Kevin McCarthy to be Speaker. Now, at that time, I don't think they knew, because we didn't have official numbers, that it only takes 4 people to not vote for Kevin McCarthy for him not to be able to have a majority if everyone's in there.
But that does not mean that Jeffries wins either, as long as they vote for somebody.
Right. As long as they vote for some, but nobody gets a majority that way.
So to me, the best case scenario for the Democrats is a stalemate at this point.
Oh, if the Democrats just hold their shit together, they're probably going to end up. It is a very likely scenario that we will have a Democratic Speaker in a Republican majority Congress.
A Speaker temporarily until the Republicans get their shit together and vote.
I'm saying I think Hakeem Jeffries might be elected Speaker.
Those 19 that voted for other people, didn't vote present, 19 Republicans, that is, I'm going to stick to what I told you a month or so ago, absolute political suicide if they walk out of the vote, or I don't believe they'll vote for Jeffries, but if they were to vote present, as you and I had talked about or you explained to me, all of a sudden it's like they're not in the majority.
Right.
They understand the consequences. There's no way that they do not understand the consequences of their actions. And there is no way they can allow.
Okay, so I'm not trying to interrupt you. Something very interesting is happening right now. Jim Jordan just went to speak, and both sides, Democrats and Republicans, have given him a standing ovation. Now, I don't know if he's throwing his hat in the ring to become speaker or what? But that's very interesting that that just happened.
I'm all in there.
And he did get votes in the first round. I don't remember how many, but he did get votes in the first round. So what happens now is there's going to be a second vote. Of course, people are talking. There's probably deals going behind all this other stuff. But this morning, the GOP had a caucus. And from what I understand from the reporting, I guess this was to try the last ditch effort of Kevin McCarthy to say, hey, let's get together, all this other stuff. And I guess he lost his shit completely and was extremely unprofessional, and bunch of obscenities and F-bombs and all this other stuff could be heard from outside the room in the hall. And so it went from the five that have always said they're not going to vote for him, no way, no how, no where, to 19 voted for someone else in the first round. We'll have a second round, but this goes and goes and go, and they're back up on their feet again, clapping for him. I wish I could hear what's...
It sounds like those five, and I just got a text from Clifton, and I think you're in the group, Ryan, that those five intend to vote for Jim Jordan on the second vote.
Okay.
Doesn't do us any good if what we discussed earlier, if there's 100 representatives that are only going to vote for McCarthy.
Yeah, the only way that I see a Republican, and I could talk about this for hours, and I'm not going to, but the only way I see a Republican Speaker of the House happening in this deal is for Kevin McCarthy to drop out and they coalesce behind somebody else.
And he said he'd rather die in the chambers before he does that.
That evidently, that was an exact quote this morning when everything went haywire in the GOP caucus, that he said he would die in the chamber before he withdrew.
So my read on the information that I've seen briefly here on TV, and I've got it muted, so I don't know what Jim Jordan is saying, but when McCarthy goes crazy in the caucus and explodes, that is no question a sign of desperation. He knows he's screwed. Jim Jordan, I would love to see him speakers out. I assume he's so outspoken, he probably has a couple enemies. It's my guess.
I would think so. But at this point, I mean, if Republicans want a speaker, their beggars can't be choosers at this deal. Like, I mean, I do not think that McCarthy is going to get these people to come around. And whether he withdraws or whatever, I don't know. But like, chaos.
Your insight was so good early on that you felt the fact that those five just there was nothing going to change their mind. And I don't believe that's going to change. So you're dead on. You're that instinctive notion or perception that you had then is holding strong. I thought they would cave for the benefit of the party. I was wrong on that. I do still believe that they will not allow the Democrats to take over the speaker. But as you pointed out earlier in our phone call this morning, that if we can't come up after the second vote, if they don't come up with a majority, Nancy Pelosi appoints a speaker?
Yes. So a temporary speaker to like this has gone like it is literally, I'm not just using this number figuratively. It has been 100 years to the day that a speaker wasn't elected on the first vote. They're going to do another vote. If they can't get one, then Pelosi will appoint a temporary speaker till there is a vote taken that gets a majority. At one point, I don't remember the year, it took 137 votes to get a speaker. People are predicting this will be days, maybe weeks.
It is an absolute disaster.
And that's why I keep worrying about the number of people leaving, because people have plans, people have things like this. I'll just say, if this does drag out to the way it does, as I have been saying since the midterm elections, the Democrats, as crazy as they are, as dumb as their policies are, all this other stuff, those people will get pillows and blankets and cots and sleep in their office and stay there forever.
Any Republican that leaves is done. There's no way they're going to get voted back in. So they would have to be on what they want to be their last term anyway. And maybe that'll happen.
The worst part of all this is like the Republican national chair was on Fox a while ago. And so, and this is what I said to Dale and Clifton before we were recording. when you have a very slim majority like the Republicans do, it's a very slim majority, you have to have a strong speaker to be able to get anything done. And I think Nancy Pelosi is Satan. I'm going to be honest. But she also is notorious for knowing exactly where her votes were every single time. She never sent a bill to the floor from the time she was whip or whatever leadership behind a bill that it didn't go through, because she is the best vote counter in political history. If McCarthy can't get his own people and his own party to back him for the speakership, how is he that's so weak? How is he going to be effective at getting anything passed, not only in his own caucus, but reaching out across the aisle to the Democrats? They're going to be like, your own people don't even want you here. I think it's a disaster. And I think what will happen is it's just weakened the Republicans so much already that I don't think they're going to get one tenth of the stuff that they wanted to accomplish in terms of investigations, legislature, all this other stuff passed because of this. And the McDaniel lady, who's the RNC chair, she says, I have had probably 30 texts this morning from friends of mine that are not deeply entrenched in politics going, what is happening? Republicans have the majority in the House. Why can't we get a speaker elected? Because the average Americans will not understand this. It looks terrible for the Republicans. Terrible.
Oh, there's no question. So what I don't understand, and I'm curious to better understand, if we don't have anybody formally as a representative in the House that until they're sworn in, who's in charge of conducting the voting and who?
The outgoing clerk will stay, the Congress's clerk, this lady, I don't even know her name, but she was up there. She will conduct all the votes till a majority is whatever. But Nancy Pelosi will probably appoint a temporary speaker.
And she's allowed to do that after the second vote if there is not a consensus.
Yes. And what Gates is now up here now. He's one of the five that said he, no way, no how, will ever vote for McCarthy. So I don't know.
So let's say, and I think this is inevitable, that Nancy's going to appoint somebody. So at least temporarily, there will be a Democrat speaker. They can start conducting business right then. Is that correct?
After they have... Once a majority, no, the temporary speaker can conduct no business. They have to elect a speaker. Then the next thing by a majority, then the next thing that happens is the new speaker of the House swears in all of the, whether they were reelected or newly elected congressmen, and then you can conduct business.
So what is the purpose of the temporary speaker? That's nothing more than what the clerk's doing now then.
That I cannot tell you. I don't understand that.
I would have thought they could move forward, conduct business, but I'm glad they can't, because I think we're going to come to that point.
So that's the way I understand it. And again, but like, this is a mess.
It is an absolute mess. I guess so. Well, by the time this drops, and so everybody realizes, we are recording
Tuesday.
Earlier this week, Tuesday, and it drops on Friday. So I'm sure that a lot of what we're talking about at this moment will have passed and gone under the bridge or no longer maybe be relevant. But just the whole fact, and I hope that our listeners can comprehend what's going on, and that the big picture here is, irregardless of where things are when this drops, damage has already been done, and this further gives the Democrats more ammunition that the Republican Party is that fractured. And I want to stand up and say they're going to bond together and do all these things, but that is just not what's happening. And Ryan's correct when he talks about it, and I dislike it more than anybody. I dislike Pelosi more than anybody. I think she's worse than Satan. But she did keep things together, and for some reason, even though the policies are as ignorant as they are, and it's all everything bad that I can come up with, somehow the Democrats all stay together. And I don't get it, Ryan. I don't understand how that can be different.
They're taking the second vote right now. And Clifton's been texting us. So Jim Jordan nominated Kevin McCarthy, and then Matt Gaetz nominated Jim Jordan. So Wow. This is, yeah.
Are you a fan of Jim Jordan?
I am a huge fan of Jim Jordan.
I'm the largest fan, but
now I think the problem is he is almost, I mean, he's pretty close to right wing, but I mean, like, I'm sure as outspoken as he is, he's got a few bridges he's burned within the Republican Party. But I mean, I don't know, but I am a big fan of Jim Jordan. I have always wondered why he wasn't in a leadership role already.
I mean, Ryan, we're here in just in seconds, McCarthy will get enough the votes that Jordan, it's impossible. It is already. It's impossible that he's going to get enough votes, and McCarthy's not going to get the. It's at this point, it's done. Pelosi's going to appoint a speaker.
That's what it looks like.
There's no way around
it. So what else is going on in the world? I'm at Cattlemen's Congress. You're not here.
Oh, I had a great week at the Arizona National, and despite having returned tickets for my family on Southwest Airlines, we get on the plane. It's maybe half full, Ryan. Even though they say they're so backlogged and they're still canceling flights at that point because they don't have people where they need to go. From Phoenix to Chicago was half full. I understand people do not want to go to Chicago. I get it. So maybe that's it. But I like to bring in some of my personal experiences. You know how I like to disclose my personal life, Ryan, so much.
Oh, yeah, you love it.
So on the flight home, and I'm pretty sure this lady's not listening to our podcast. However, I wish she would. She needs to. There's a lady with a 5-year-old son, approximately, sitting across the aisle and up just a little bit from me. And I am convinced after that plane ride that we do need to sterilize some people. Ryan, I've never seen a parent treat a child in the manner that she does. Super sweet for 5 minutes and then almost bipolar, F-bombing you little bastard, this, that, everything you can imagine to a 5-year-old, to the point where I went to get up to interrupt and the stewardess came through there and I thought maybe she was going to say something and didn't. But I sat back down and I didn't for fear of consequences and how it may escalate. But I cannot believe the ignorance out there in the world. And for some reason, when I'm traveling, this all pops back up. And I realize I should probably leave this alone. But it was sad that that poor child has no chance of in life because of this parent. It is abusive.
Hey, look, I made it through and Shri was my mom, damn it.
No, this is and I know I didn't give enough.
I'm not making light of the situation, and I also don't think my mother's beautiful. I was just being funny, people.
Yes. This lady, Ryan, I can't begin to explain the mental and cracked him a couple times. And I'm all for spanking a kid and being a little more forceful and making them behave. But this child was more intelligent than the mother. No question. And just abuse. There was no question. I don't know that you could say physical, but no question mental abuse is taking place. And that really concerns me that we still have this out there. And I don't have a solution for it. The child, she should not be allowed to have a child at this point. It was interesting.
So interrupt your story. On the second vote, they haven't called but maybe 50 to vote so far out of 430-something. Already four others. McCarthy will not get the votes on the second election either.
It's already done. Be curious to know who those others are for. Okay, to finish that story, so I let that go as best I can. And I probably should have stepped in, but I don't know where that would have – it may have gone all wrong. When I talk about shooting people in the kneecap, or sterilization, this is the poster child parent for this, period. We get to Midway, and I didn't even do this time, and I should have. I like to Snapchat my favorite Beetlejuice when I'm at O'Hare, when she greets me with that sign as I go to get on the tram. From the parking lot to go to the terminal, well, Beetlejuice has her signs up in Midway as well, and I'm walking down the concourse, and I see people taking selfies with a sign, and there were people taking selfies with Beetlejuice, this sign. It was all I could do not to just question their intelligence, question why would you do that. My wife says they're taking it just to prove to people that are in Chicago, which I think is a terrible idea as well. But yeah, my current events kind of ties into the ignorance that we're seeing from the Republican Party in this vote, that there's too much of it in the world.
I'm not going to argue with you there, Dale.
Maybe we should move on to something more positive, like our main topic. What do you think?
Well, before we get to the main topic, do you want to say that first year BTRJLA is in the books? I want to give a huge shout out to the Arizona National. They sent us results each night after those shows were completed. We put them right in. We had final points updated on our website at 8 a.m. on January 1st. And y'all may not think that that is a big deal, but it kind of is, to be honest with you. And we couldn't have done it without Arizona National being so wonderful about sending those results after the show was directly over. They got them to us. We got it up. Again, this will drop on Friday. We posted points. We're giving everybody until Sunday to send emails, get things, you know, checked, all this other stuff. I put up on social media from like 2 hours after we put final points up. We had over 200 emails. All of those emails have been answered since then. I'm not saying there don't have to be some follow-up emails among it, but everyone got a reply of those 200. On Monday, we will put up, if there were any corrections or any discrepancies, we'll put up another set of points. And on Monday, that is the standings. It is official. There was no changing. There is no nothing. It is exactly what it is. And then we will start to ship out awards. I want everyone to know just a couple of things. First off, it's going to take time. We're going to ship out over 2,000 awards. That's not going to happen in a matter of days. It's going to take weeks, but we are going to start. And then the other thing, if you are one of the lucky 40 that were in the top 10 overall in the nation, in the hogs, in the sheep, in the goats, or in the cattle, I will be ordering your jackets on Monday, because I can't place an order until the points are official, because these jackets are about $200 a piece. So I can't just order a lot of them. I have to know the exact sizes. And so I will order those Monday. They have assured me that will take about 4 to 6 weeks, because the design's up, everything's up. They've just got to have size. And then we will ship those out to you. So those 40 kids, you will be getting your jackets, but it's going to probably be a couple of months. But again, I think you want the right size. So that's the deal with BTRJLA. We've had a ton of people enter memberships for next year. We're getting sanctioned shows in every day. Again, it's the start of the year. We're at Congress. Congress is a sanctioned show. Their calendar's up for January and whatever. There's a bunch of shows sanctioning. I've had probably a dozen contact me in the last whatever. They're signing up. So get your kids entered up. Again, going to be a great year. If you're interested in sponsors, we need them desperately. Please contact me.
Excellent. And congratulations on getting through the mechanics of it and the points of it all and getting everything going the right direction. It's exciting to see how year two is going to be. I am en route to Congress, Ryan. I will be there. I leave tonight, early morning, sometime here in the next 12 hours. And I'm the most excited to take you out to dinner or lunch, whichever you'd prefer.
Yeah.
At my local Mexican restaurant, walking distance from Congress.
Mm-hmm. That costs $3 to eat there.
No. Like ceviche is probably $6, $7, something like that. It's not as cheap as you would think. But I would like a commitment that you're willing to go.
As long as I am not judging or something, I will go. I'm not saying I'll eat, but I'll go.
Well, I'm excited to get to Congress, and Ryan, I would like to echo your big shout out to Arizona National and getting those results in. If they would not have done that, it just pushes everything back. So thank you, and I know Katie.
No, yeah, and I mean that sincerely. Katie at Arizona National, she went above and beyond. And like I said, I also want to thank Trisha and Jaden and Doris, who actually put in the points, because we were getting these results sometimes 10, 11 o'clock at night, and those ladies went straight into inputting them. And so, again, I haven't said thank you to the BTRJLA staff this whole year probably, but Warren, who does the points program and makes sure everything calculates up, Trisha, Jaden, and Doris, who put in the points, and Reagan, who does our website. Again, very small but dedicated crew. I really appreciate all the work that they did this year. Also, Dale, we're not 100 votes in, and there's 7 people that have voted against Kevin McCarty.
Yeah, we're going to get Nancy to appoint something. So before we jump into that, the other thing I wanted to point out, I did have a week at Arizona, and it's interesting, Ryan. I had several people that had not been there before, some are clients, some not, visit with me about the show just was a comfortable setting, relaxed, user-friendly, and I want to compliment Arizona for continuing that. Thank them for allowing me to sort the open cattle show. It was a nice, it was a relaxing week, and I can't always say that that happens at all the shows, but I'm glad that things are going the right direction. I also noticed Show Fresh H2O made it in the finals for Best of the Barn's new product. Were you aware of that?
I did not
right?
know that.
Yes. Please show your support and go vote. While you're there, might want to vote for this podcast as well.
Might.
Thank you.
You should
go vote. I believe we won that last year, right?
We did win last year.
So that's great. Maybe we'll win again this year. That would be wonderful. So don't forget to go vote. It's not difficult. You can find it anywhere. It seems like it's all over Facebook at the moment. And thank you.
You can go to my Facebook. The link's up there.
Show Fresh H2O for the support that you continue to give the youth livestock industry. It is appreciated. Words matter.
Yeah.
Ryan, your topic, and it's a good one. Please explain.
And I'll be honest with you. I don't know how many of these topics we've done, but it's in the hundreds or something. I think this is probably the most important one that I've come up with because it now more than ever, I think this is really, really valid. And words matter. And I don't care if they're written or spoken, but they matter. And it's in every part of our life, but in this industry as well. And I'm going to take many, many different approaches to this throughout this thing. And I'm going to apologize because it probably will be long, but I don't think it can be emphasized enough that whether you're writing something on social media or you're saying something to anyone, whoever it is, or you're on a microphone as a judge, what you say does matter. And it also affects people. And so we've talked about a lot of important stuff, but I guess in my opinion, and I probably won't, all the podcast topics that I think are important and matter, nobody likes them. So this will probably be the most disliked one of all, but it's
that
important
is not
to me.
True, but there is maybe a correlation. The ones we're excited about, we don't get the crazy numbers that we get on some of the others.
And I'll just start out, and again, like, I'm going to talk about several different things, but one thing that I think is very important is you parents, kids, or livestock enthusiasts, when you're at a show, and I don't care if you're ringside, or you're sitting in the stands, or you're at your box, or at your stalls, you think that you're having a conversation with just someone, and maybe you think that that conversation isn't going anywhere else or isn't being overheard by anybody. Y'all don't know this, but I have a significant hearing problem in my right ear. And I can tell you that as a judge, even though I have a significant hearing problem in my right ear, I can hear people ringside talking about kids that can't show, animals that are bad, me being a bad judge, all this other stuff. You don't realize that people are overhearing what you say. And also, I don't think people realize that while you're having a conversation with somebody, a lot of times that conversation gets repeated more than maybe you thought it would. And so again, especially if you're going to be negative about something, whether it's an animal, an exhibitor, a judge. And again, this may be just you and your family member or something. Be very, very careful what you say, because there are people listening and those words matter.
Absolutely. And I think it's easy for us to not stop and realize maybe the impact, especially when that continues to get repeated. And I'm guilty of this. I'm sure Ryan is as well. We've said things assumably in confidence that doesn't stay that way, that may hurt somebody's feelings or not be positive. Let's take that path. And in hindsight, I regret doing so and need to stop and think. Even my sterilization comments earlier, Ryan, it's probably something I should not say, but hard not to when I run into situations like this. I think about when I'm at shows, Ryan, I'll be approached by a parent, and it seems like it's usually the national shows that I'm at. A parent will come up to me and thank me for taking time to make a comment to their son or daughter that was in the show ring in a jackpot show somewhere in the country, that those simple words that, hey, you're doing a really nice job getting this one stuck, or whatever it may be, those things mean a lot to that child. And I can't tell you how many times, and I'm sure it happens to you way more than it does me, that when a parent comes up and said that really motivated them, that got them excited about this industry, and it took no effort on my part at all. And it was very sincere. They obviously were doing a good job, or whatever comments I made to them, maybe even in a manner that here's something you could do to maybe improve. And they took that direction. Very simple words that took zero effort on my part that made a pretty big difference in a positive way. But we also need to realize some of those comments that we make can go to the negative. And I want you to elaborate more on this, because I know what it's like for you sitting at a show, watching another person judge, and more so listening to their reasons when they describe the livestock. And more recently, it's rubbed off on me, and it's starting to get to me a little bit, or a lot of it, that we have to make the effort to be accurate in those descriptions. Even if we're getting down towards the bottom of the class and it's been a long day, we think, well, the crowd's tired, they're not paying attention. There are still people paying attention. And a lot of times it's that child on the end of that halter that expects to hear what you did or did not like about that animal. If you're just making up random bullshit, that doesn't work. And you can expand on that way more than where I'm at.
So yeah, this is one of the big things for Words Matter. And I try exceptionally hard when I am in a ring to make sure that, you know, even in sheep and goat shows, when you normally only just talk the top five, when I pull those kids in that aren't in the top five, I say, hey, you know what? Sheep's got a lot of muscle, but for me, not good enough shirt, whatever. Whether I'm talking to a kid or I'm talking on the mic, I try extremely hard to be not only accurate, but also individually descriptive about that animal. Not just, well, this one's not sound. Like, I want the people, whether they're listening to me or I want the exhibitor, to know what about that animal specifically I think needs to be modified, changed, corrected. Because you can give a canned set of reasons and you can just say stuff and all this other stuff. People now more than ever are listening. And it's not just the people at the show. So many of these shows are webcast or Facebook Live or all this other stuff. And here's the thing that none of y'all really think about. You can go back and rewatch that. It's not like, poof, gone. And so if you're not really being as accurate as you need to be, or just saying canned made up stuff, it's becoming a problem. And I think the one thing is, I don't care how you place something. I can disagree with your placings. I can say that we don't have the same type, whatever, but I don't care how you place things, because that is just an opinion. But when you just say stuff on the mic that I and the majority of the other people, whether they're watching online or standing there, that it doesn't make any sense. It's not accurate, all this stuff. And I can't believe that I'm having to say this, but this is a really big problem. It is a really big problem. And I don't know if it's because I don't know how we got to this point. Play some however you want, but be accurate when you're describing that animal. And I think it's maybe just a lack of effort. I don't know. It is infuriating. I have been on this bandwagon for several years, and Dale, I think, is now kind of seeing what I see. And again, I don't care how you place things. I really don't. But like, there's a bunch of times that I go to shows, and when I'm watching and listen, I get uncomfortable in that situation because I know what's going on out there is not as good as it needs to be. We just got to do better.
And I think a lot of it, Ryan, is when I was at shows previously to just you bringing this topic up, and we talk about this on a regular basis, I would not necessarily, unless it was one of our animals, I'm not watching intently and listening and paying attention to each and everything that is being said. And maybe you get in that mindset as a judge that you don't think that it matters because we're into that fifth or sixth or eighth place animal, and they assume it just doesn't matter. We're just going to get through this class and move on to another one. But I've come to the realization that those people affiliated, whether it's the showman, the parent, the fitter, whatever it is, they would still like to hear the good and bad of that animal, maybe even more so than the person that's winning the class. And, right. and it may have a bigger impact even than the person's winning.
And I don't care if the animal's first or 18th. If you're going to talk it, then talk it right. Because just like you said, I know that I am the weirdo and that like not everybody that goes to a show listens to everything that the judge says about it. I understand that I am very weird in that deal. But whoever group and kid and or exhibitor on that animal, they're going to listen to what you say about their animal. So every animal matters, every single one.
Absolutely.
In terms of what you say, describe.
And I think there's a lot of those.
I'm frustrated just talking about it.
I can feel it. Those animals that are mid to lower in the class, a lot of those people are there to learn. And it's part of the reason they're hauling to that show is to try to figure out what to do and how to get better. And if we're making up something random, that all of a sudden just confuses the entire issue. It's just not healthy for the industry. It's not the right thing to do. It's easy to do. And I understand in some of those shows that drag on for a long time, it just maybe becomes a norm more than it should. I would rather you didn't say anything about the animal than not say what's actually there. And I will get into occasionally, Ryan, I will not be, I'll throw myself under the bus. If we have two or three at the bottom that maybe are all very similar in terms of their appearance, I may group those together and give some generalizations, but hopefully those generalizations actually apply. And it's different depending on what species. It seems pretty common.
I think that's okay. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't get nearly as offended when somebody says, you know, after we get past the sixth place animal, you know, as we go down the line, these don't have the structural integrity. They're not as heavy. I can handle that way better than you talking 6th through 12th and just phoning it in. I really can. I can handle the generalizations because that is the truth. Like normally when they're that far down in the line, they aren't as muscular. They aren't as sound, all those things. And I can handle that listening to that better. I think that you might be depriving that kid if you haven't gone up to them personally and said, hey, I like this about your animal, but I needed this and this and change. That's why you're depriving that exhibitor or that family of an individual evaluation. But I'd much rather hear that than just the random BS that comes out of some people's mouths these days. It's
And you know, and I'm gonna change, move on to just another one. You know what I notice the most, and it's after I do a showmanship, and I don't know why. It seems like more on the West Coast, partially because just about every exhibitor will come back in for showmanship. We're here in the Midwest. If we have 100 kids showing, we may end up with a dozen in showmanship. Not all species, but just in general. And then I will make a comment about what I prefer and where I'm at and how that's my individual preference. And that doesn't mean that every judge is going to be that way. But what we need to realize is sometimes they don't understand the exhibitor showing and the families assume sometimes that every judge has a, like we have an absolute standard and all of us adhere to it, which we do not. And that's, there's no question that we have individual differences on how we want animals presented in the show ring. So when a judge says, okay, I don't want you to do A, B, or C, or I want you to do it like this, that exhibitor will take it to heart and completely change what they're doing at the next show. And it may not be what that next judge likes. And afterwards, they'll come up to me and say, well, judge at the show last weekend told us to do this, and you were a little bit negative on it. We have to be careful. I mean, we can't not explain what we do and do not like. I guess this is more, those words do matter, but as a showman, realize that each individual judge in a showmanship situation is probably going to be a little bit different. There's 80% of it that's going to be the same, maybe 20% that becomes personal preference. So be careful. Don't automatically make complete changes in everything you're doing because of one individual, especially if you've had success under multiple judges doing what you do.
Yeah, and I think that's a very valid point talking about showmanship. And I try to say this at some point during all the showmanships that I judge, that showmanship is even more personal opinion than the actual judging of animals in a show. And a lot of it has to do with the fact, you know, there are classes in high school and college on livestock evaluation. There is no, and there have been books and there's material and all this stuff for years and years and years. That doesn't mean everybody's going to do it the same, but there is some basis. There is not in showmanship at all.
No, it's, I mean, we would like to think that we want to get out there and present professionally and be courteous. And I think there's some things that we can all somewhat agree on, but personal preferences come in huge. And I can remember, okay, sheep and goats in the West Coast many years ago, the first time I started judging in the West Coast, it really caught me off guard that if I were to walk around the non-show side, Ryan, on a profile for whatever reason, or yeah, I guess anytime I would get on the non-show side, they would brace the animal so it's presented to me as the show side. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And in the Midwest, we get that brace locked in and we stay on the same side.
Yeah.
And do you see that regionally or across the country difference?
No, I've seen it before. And again, I think that's the thing. I think the deal is, and like we all need to do better in terms of when we do judge showmanship, is say, you know, this is what I like, this is what I prefer. But still, at the end of the day, those kids, to some extent, while always trying to improve and do better, because, you know, my friend Jay Jenkins just did showmanship at the Arizona National. I'm sure she did a tremendous job. She got lots of positive compliments. We may not like the same type of showman. We may not pick the same one. That doesn't mean she's right and I'm wrong. And that doesn't mean because you won under Jade and didn't do as well under me that you need to switch completely. I think while we, as showmen, you need to always try to improve, but you also have to stick with what works for you personally as an individual, and also what you're the most successful with more times than not, because there's always going to be a showmanship judge or two that you're going to run into that doesn't like your style, or you do a pet peeve of theirs and you don't win or don't do good. That doesn't mean you throw everything out and start over and just go with what that person said that day.
Absolutely. And we're talking about words matter. Those compliments or criticisms that you may be getting in showmanship, use them as an educational point, but also insert some common sense And the biggest thing we can get across is each judge is going to have those personal preferences. So we have to just acknowledge that. And I like that Ryan says what you're getting along with most of the time is probably a very, very good direction to go. And I hope that those of you listening now better understand if at all confused prior to this podcast or this episode, that wow, there just isn't that rock hard standard. There really isn't, even more so in showmanship than we're judging the animals. So please take it for what it is. And those of you out there judging shows, maybe make a little more effort to say, hey, this is where I'm at. Your judge next weekend may not want you to do it this way. So stick to what's gotten you there to begin with.
Now, and then I want to take another approach on this topic of, and again, not pointing fingers at anybody, just talking in general. If you are a leader, role model, a show manager, staff member of a show, whatever, all those things, and people come to you, and whether they ask questions or whatever, or you're talking to a group of kids before show or after show, all this other stuff, I know I get this a lot from parents. It's like, well, so-and-so said this, and then that didn't happen. And again, I'm sure some of those times that it's just a simple mistake or a mishap or whatever, but I also do think that sometimes in these situations, people are just saying what they think is the path of least resistance, so there's not a problem or there's not, you know, controversy, whatever, and then they go on and do what they were going to do anyway. And we probably need to be a lot better about that. And I can even put that in a situation of a breeder, a broker, someone selling, you know, stuff like that. Everything that you say in any of those type of situations, you need to adhere to that. You need to stick to your guns or do what you said you were going to do, because when you put it out there and you're in that type of position, it matters to that person that you had that conversation with. It will probably matter to more people. And I just think far too many times we're probably getting into situations where what we say and what actually happens isn't the same. The follow through is not there.
Yeah, and that is very, very accurate. And I think those that are judging, and I know we're going in circles here, but those that are judging some of these shows are in a position of assumed authority. All of your conversations that you're having, whether it's on the microphone discussing an animal, on the microphone discussing what you do and don't like about an individual showmanship, or ringside prior to the show, maybe at the backdrop, all of these places, we just need to stop, including myself, and think, let's just be careful with what we say, particularly from a negative standpoint.
Yeah, and I was talking about show managers and people like that, and you bring this point up about, you know, that. I think, it's again, something when talking about a judge's perspective. I think another thing that I didn't mention earlier that you've brought up and needs to be brought up, I hear this a lot from people, is, well, so-and-so is just so negative about the animals, and or just XYZ just rips everything apart and all this other stuff. Again, I'm not saying that I am the best reasons talker, judge, anything like that. I don't believe that, don't whatever, and stuff like that. I know what has been very successful for me is to start, whether you're first or 111th or last, start with the positives on that animal. And even if an animal is last, I have judged as many shows as anybody here lately. I can find something positive to say about every single animal that it still be accurate. And you can do that even for the last animal. And then say, but this and this and this is wrong, so that's why they're here at the anchor of the class, etc. But if you start positive instead of just, you know, starting saying, well, this one in first, I don't think this one's good enough here, but start with the positives. I think that's been very well received and worked for me quite well. I do think that we have a tendency as judges, and I fight it myself. If it is a long show or whatever, you do get mentally tired. You do get drained, and I can catch myself because, again, I try very hard. Like, I need to say more positive things, whatever. I'm probably being too critical on the stuff and all this other stuff. I think that's happening, and it is an opinion, and we are supposed to give our opinion, but I think that we can, all of us, try to inject more positive things about not only the exhibitors, but also the animals that we're critiquing.
Absolutely. It seems very simple, doesn't it?
Oh, I don't know about simple, but, and then again, and another thing about this, we've talked a lot about spoken words, and that's a big deal, and I think it's a big deal. And again, I can't tell you the number of times that someone will come up to me at a show, or maybe they've seen me, you know, several shows later, a month later, and like, hey, when you were judging in, you know, Timbuktu, so-and-so was done and said this about you. Same way with talking about kids or exhibitor, all that spoken stuff, we need to be very careful and conscious about what we say, because there is somebody that is going to want to tell you the bad thing that somebody said about you. I don't know why. I've never understood that concept, especially with me, because we all know that I really don't care what anybody thinks about my ability as a sorter or anything like that. I think that's one of the attributes. I'm very confident in what I do and how I do it, and so people's approval really doesn't matter to me. But I have never understood the people that like want to come up and tell you what somebody bad said about you, but they're out there and we all know they are. But the other thing is, a lot of times we get on Facebook or social media, or we send a text or whatever, all this other stuff, and written word, the consequences, all the things are even probably more so than spoken word, because there it is in black and white print. And I don't care if it's about an exhibitor, a judge, a show, whatever. I'm just going to say it, and I know I've said this on this podcast before. If it's kind of like the golden rule, if you can't say anything nice, just don't say anything at all. And because, and then I know that people get heated in the moment and they put that post up there, or they shoot off that text or whatever. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, they'll delete it. They'll take it down, whatever. Screenshot lasts forever, people. And I'm going to say that again. A screenshot lasts forever. And so it just takes 1 minute. And the one person to see it and screenshot it, whether it's a text, a snap, social media, whatever. And then it gets passed around and round, 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 round.
The key there, Ryan, that you brought up is it's the heat of the moment that it happens. More times than not all the time, but the majority of the time, if they take a deep breath, wait an hour, overnight, whatever, they probably wouldn't put that up, especially those that end up deleting them 5 minutes later. Just get out of the heat of the moment. That is where we get crazy. That is where we're not thinking clearly. All of those things come into play, and we do things that are stupid, and we've got to avoid that. I get caught up in the heat of the moment when I'm at a show or whatever it is.
I do too. And I have developed a system, and I may have talked about this on here, I don't know. But anyway, and it's normally not about an individual or anything like that. It's about a circumstance or something that, you know, whatever. When I get to that point and I want to put something on social media, or I'm going to send a text to somebody that I think needs to know something, I will do it. I will then run it by Callie or Dale or a couple other people and say, what do you think about this? Before I ever post anything. And more times than not, they say, well, if you change this and this, I think it's fine, whatever. But by the time all that has transpired, I have either calm down or whatever the moment that moment has passed. But that's the system that's worked for me. I bounce it off somebody and say, hey, you know the situation. What do you think about this? And more times than not, it just doesn't even happen to go up there because, again, as you said, Dale, when you get out of the heat of that very given moment, then, you know, you're like, it's not even worth it. And
you are the best example about the heat of the moment in that, and just what you said there, that you will be just ready to just you're.
And
it could be about
someone.
Something that doesn't even affect you, what you call a circumstance. And whoa, but within time, you're back, you're okay. It's all right.
Yeah, and I mean, again, it's not normally about a person, right? It's just a circumstance that I don't think is right. I think whatever, but that deal, I'm telling you, and again, I'm going to say it for the third time. I'm not going to say it again. A screenshot lasts forever, people. It does. I don't think you can hear that enough. And I am no saint. I have put stuff, sent stuff, text stuff that I'm not my proudest moments before. But we can all live and learn and get better. But I'm just telling you, just think and take a breath and do those things because it's important. And I thought this was going to be a lot longer, but I do have one other, like a personal note, and I'm going to try to get through this, but I'm probably going to get a little emotional. I love this industry. It is what I am passionate about, and it's very important to me. And most of you know that there has probably not been a person in this industry that has had more negative things said about them than I have or wrote about them. And while all that does is fuel me to be better, continue on, to keep going, prove the haters wrong, and all this other stuff, I am not normal in that way. And because of the circumstances throughout my life, even as a junior exhibitor, when I wasn't really well-liked, I have developed a different way to deal with all of this. The majority person, whether it's a kid or an adult, doesn't have that. And I can't tell you the number of people that have reached out to me and said, you know, this happened and my kid was hurt or I'm hurt and all this stuff. How do you deal with this? How do you do it? All this other stuff. And again, I'm not normal in that situation. And the easiest thing for us all to do is just be nicer and be kinder and be more understanding and lift people up instead of tear them down. Because the banners and the trophies and buckles and all those things are real cool. And I think one of the greatest things about this industry is that we're one of the few left that encourage individual success. And I think that's a big part of it. At the end of the day, though, all that really matters is what was true and truly felt and how we treated one another. And that's it. And we can all be better at that.
Amen. Every one of us. No need to even add to that, Ryan. Thank you for sharing. This was a great topic, and I hope it resonates with a lot of listeners, and I believe it will. And I think we can all, each and every listener, Ryan, myself, everybody, we are saying things on a daily basis, something that we probably shouldn't. And we just need to do what we can, or writing can be written or spoken. I think we can do better by not doing it. Are there some things that need to be said? Absolutely. And they're not always good, especially when we're trying to make change and there's issues that need to be addressed. But more so on a personal note, and especially with youth involved, that's where we've got to stop and think about it. Throw darts at Ryan and I, it's fine. They're happening every day. That's okay. But let's be smarter about the youth that fuel this industry and how it's going to impact them long term. Ryan, with all of that, are you capable of jumping into question and answer? Because I know...
I'd also like to tell everybody that the second vote is still going, but the 19 that voted against McCarty in the first one have already... The number is already 19. It may be bigger this time around.
Yeah, there's still votes out there, it looks like. Yeah. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see where this is Friday when this drops. Maybe a reason to do a Beyond the Circus, right?
Maybe.
Question and answer time. And I'm not a huge fan of the first question. But I was running behind and I had to pull the questions up as you were speaking here just seconds ago, to be perfectly honest.
Do you think they'll let me Speaker of the House? I'll run.
You've got as good of a chance as McCarthy at this point.
There you go.
Maybe better. No, you have a better chance. If they don't know you, you have a better chance. That's a train wreck. Okay, first question. I need Dale to explain his cat business.
I've been wanting him to do that since this podcast started.
And I'm so weirded out, intrigued. How did it start? Why do they look crazy? What is it like raising basically lions? So many questions. And Ryan, you can talk about pageants too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I will start on this one, right? You can't answer it in a question. It would take too long to tell the story about the cat business.
I have had the topic for Dale, goats, pussycats, and voodoo Angus on the list since this started, and he has denied me.
No, denied me. We can do it like now or soon, next week.
I have to bear my soul about everything, just like I just did earlier. Dale gets a free pass.
No, it takes me longer to, I'm not good about talking about those personal things. Not that that's personal, but more.
I was going to say, this is a business. I'm not asking you to give us the details of your first marriage. We're talking about a business.
Okay. How about maybe next week or the following week? I don't know if we have a topic for next week. We probably don't. The second question, since we were able to kind of just skip the first one, was wonderful. Jolene, this is an easy one, Ryan. Totally yours. Ryan, what was your favorite Christmas gift? I don't know that I want to know this.
I think it would probably be a very close tie because I got a new fur coat. Unfortunately, it's here with me, but it's been very warm at the Congress so far. So it's not really been fur weather. I'm hoping that it gets colder so I can wear it. But I also got some green glitter snakes, my glitter snake collection.
St. Patrick's Day shoes.
And so I don't know. It was a tie, but I would probably go with the fur. But I had a very nice Christmas. And I would say probably the fur. I think I'm going to get to wear the green glitter shoes before I get to wear the fur, though, at this point. So there you go.
Third question comes from Pat. I love the first episode of Beyond the Realm. When will the next episode drop?
Everybody loved the first episode of Beyond the Realm. Chase is going to put us out of business.
Oh God! Well, I don't know. Ryan, have you discussed with Chase when he's doing another one? I don't know.
No, because he's listened to his podcast like 45 times by himself. He's going to have the most records because he keeps listening to his own.
He's going to be able to figure out what to do right and wrong. But I think he made a comment, if I'm correct, in the podcast that he'll try to do them on a regular basis, but just does not know.
He is also a high school student, people. Y'all do realize that the child has homework and, you know, things.
I did hear the possible next topic, animal abominations. Abominations, and I'll just leave it at that. The other thing, he has been texting with Jumping Jack.
Oh!
So I believe that may be the next guest.
Oh, my.
I don't even listen to podcasts, and I
will probably listen.
I'm going to listen to that one as well. I have no idea when they're going to try to record that, but I will give him Clifton's number, and then it's kind of out of my hands.
Yeah, but no, we've got enough going on with our own podcast.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. And I also want to say, we all know how weird I am, and that's fine. Oh, the vote was exactly the same as the first one, by the way. You're great. Anyway, I do not know Pinky and the Brain. I've never heard of this stupid cartoon. All you people that keep commenting and all this other stuff, I don't know anything about it, so quit asking me. I don't know.
I think you ought to go watch it. I think you would appreciate it if you did see it.
Like, I think they think that I am the one that wants to take over the world. I'm like, I don't even know what y'all are talking about.
Just go watch it. I think it was before both of our time. I don't know. It's a very old cartoon.
I never watched cartoons as a child. I just didn't. Like, I didn't. So, again, I mean, like, see, y'all all think that I care that I'm weird. I know I am screwed up. Okay, like I get it. I've accepted
it. You're not even a good gay person.
No, I am not.
Now, you don't represent that community.
I am a absolute hot ass disaster of a mess, but I love myself anyway, and I have accepted it. So there we are. I mean, so yeah, I can't help y'all with all that. I didn't watch cartoons. Not going to, but you know, whatever.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate the topic, the discussion, and your time again today. Until next week, be safe.
Y'all come back now you're here and vote for me for Speaker of the House. Thank you.